Thank you, musicians. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 and 20 through 26, 23 through 26. We will be observing and celebrating the Lord's Supper, and wanted to look directly at this New Testament teaching of the Lord's Supper. Verses 23 to 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you would take control of this time. We ask that you would have willing, submitted believers here. Father, that we would understand your word as your Holy Spirit gives us light, and pray that we would seek to live it out in our lives. I pray that you give me correct thoughts and words to express what your word tonight is saying to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of a small shaft of light coming through an overcast, cloudy day. Or, how many have ever been in a cave? Think of a shaft of light coming in through a crack in the ceiling of a cave roof. All around is darkness and gloom, and yet that one shaft of light is a very beautiful, welcome sight. These words of instruction here in the second half of chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, are given in the midst of a strong rebuke, very strong rebuke. The church had been worldly, carnal, fleshly, selfish in both attitude and action. That's the verses immediately preceding what I read. The rich Christians in Corinth were showing off their wealth by bringing lavish amounts of food in and denying it to the poor Christians. And the church, the Christians there, had corrupted the very ceremony that these verses so beautifully portray. They had corrupted the very unselfish act of Christ by their selfish actions and attitudes. Paul makes clear in verse 23 that he had received these instructions from the Lord. Paul often did that when he had to tell of something controversial or something that was of a rebuking nature. And he says that they had already been taught this by him, so they should have known better. They should have known better, because he says, that which I received the Lord, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. Not that I delivered to you right now. I told you this once. You were already instructed this, and you have perverted this teaching. Interestingly, most conservative biblical scholars, and by conservative I mean that they would hold the Bible to be an authority above man. Religious liberals, man is over the Bible. Conservatives, the Bible is an authority over man. Most religious scholars would hold that 1 Corinthians was written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And so with that in mind, This is the first biblical record of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Now, there was, I'm sure, word of mouth and maybe even personal letters that were not inspired written to describe it, but this is the first biblical, first inspired record of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper. And Paul says, he indicates he received it directly from the Lord himself, not from the other apostles, and Paul obviously was not there when the Lord instituted this. So as he mentions in Galatians chapter 2, where he says he received things from the Lord during his 3 years in the desert, probably that's where the Lord taught him this. And it says, on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He instituted this ordinance. Many believers, not necessarily at this church, because they had previously been taught, but perhaps some had come to faith after Paul had taught them, but here in the church of Corinth and elsewhere, many believers were probably ignorant of how the Lord instituted the Lord's table. This most beautiful, meaningful of Christian celebrations was instituted on the very night in which he was betrayed. In the midst of human evil, God establishes his good. In the midst of Satan's wickedness, God plants his holiness. Verse 19, Paul contrasts heresies, factions, schisms, or divisions, what the word heresies mean, with those who are revealed as being approved. In verse 19, for there must be also heresies, factions among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Those who are approved by God were revealed. How? And how they dealt with this division. Jesus' betrayal in the same way causes his gracious sacrifice to become known, to be manifest, to be revealed in the midst of betrayal. In the midst of Satan's, let's say his utmost in trying to destroy God and his plan. In the midst, in the darkness of Satan's absolute worst, the condemnation of the Son of God to death, God accomplishes his absolute best. The sacrifice of his Son to remove man's condemnation by means of that death, that sacrificial death. Now, Jesus and his disciples were celebrating the Passover meal in that upper room. Okay, and Jesus said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Jesus was looking forward to this because Jesus knew what was coming. This does not take him by accident. He was in control. He was in charge, so to speak, of all that was about to occur. And he wanted to eat this Passover meal with his disciples because he knew what he was about to do. Not here nor in the Gospels does the Holy Spirit see fit to give details about the Passover meal. Okay? But here are some, because most of us, Gentiles, we heard the Passover meal. We may have even seen it reenacted. How many have ever seen a Jewish Christian talk about? I was like junior high, and so I just kind of remember that there was a whole lot of stuff, but I don't remember much. But the Passover meal began with the host. In this place, it was Jesus. Jesus was the host, pronouncing a blessing on the first cup of wine and passing it around to others. And there were a total during the Passover meal of 4 cups that were passed around. Then after the first cup, bitter herbs dipped in some fruit sauce were eaten. Bitter herbs to remind the Jewish people of their bitter time under slavery. And a message was given on the meaning of the Passover. And that message was prefaced by the oldest son of the host, the father, typically it was done as a family, would say, Father, how is this night different from all other nights? Something to that effect. And that was the prescribed question. The message was given. Why are we celebrating the Passover? What was the purpose of it? Then the first part of the Hallel, which is Psalm 113 to 118, was sung. Hallel. What do you suppose that means? H-A-L-L-E-L. I think that's how you pronounce it. Hallel. Think of one of the songs we sang tonight. H-A-L-L-E-L. Hallelujah. Hallel means praise. Hallelujah is praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Yah, Jehovah, Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And so they sang either Psalm 113 or Psalm 113 and 114 as the first part of the Hallel. And then the second cup was passed. Then the host broke and passed the bread, the unleavened bread. And then the meal proper, roasted sacrificial lamb, was eaten. Then there was prayer. And then the third Passover cup was passed around. And then the remainder of the Hallel was sung. And then the fourth cup, which was symbolic of the coming kingdom, was passed around, drank, and immediately everyone left. As in, we believe the kingdom is coming, but it's not here yet. And they immediately departed. If you look in Luke 22, Luke 22, hold your finger, keep your finger in Corinthians. Or I guess you could probably find it again if you don't hold your finger there. But Luke 22, Luke mentions the second and third cups of the Passover meal. So as you're reading in Luke 22, you're reading through the Gospel, verse 15 through 20, we'll read that. You'll see it's twice the cup is mentioned. And unless you have some background to what was going on in the Passover, you're kind of left wondering. Luke 22, verse 15. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup. This is the second of the four cups. And gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it. Okay, so between verse 18 and 19, they ate the Passover lamb. And he took bread and gave thanks and break it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now that was a change, a break in the ceremony, the Passover ceremony that had taken place. Moses lived for about 1,000 years. The Passover, there was a prescribed ceremony. And Jesus changes it. And in the Bible, whenever anyone changed something, it was an indication of authority, particularly when they changed names. Nebuchadnezzar changed the names of Daniel and his three friends to indicate, I have authority over you. Jesus changes the ceremony. And he takes the bread now and he ascribes new significance to it. And then in verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So Jesus here changes things. And in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26, mentions the meal. Matthew 26, verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So it was a third cup that Jesus blessed and became the communion cup that we observe. Back in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, when he had given thanks, That phrase, had given thanks, in the Greek is Eucharistē. Eucharisto, there it is, Eucharisto. Okay? From where we get the term Eucharist. I never really liked that term because Catholic Church uses it. Right? But it's right there in the Bible. And it comes from, the root word is charis. What is charis? Sometimes we use it as a girl's name. Eucharisto. Eucharisto. What's charis mean? Grace or gift. He gave thanks. Right? He gave thanks. Right? Gave as a gift. And grace, giving, thanks. He gave thanks. Eucharist. The bread in the Passover represented the Exodus. Because that's what the whole Passover was for. The Passover, they left on the Exodus. But before they left on the Exodus, Christ, or the Lord, excuse me, God, passed over those houses that had the blood of the Lamb on it. And now Jesus says this bread represents the body of Christ. This represents my body. This is my body, which is shed for you. This is my body, which is, excuse me, broken. Broken for you. Jesus gave his body for you. Jesus gave his life up for you. God the Son became a man, endured all the physical limitations of man, endured all the temptations of man, endured all the heartaches of man for you. He offers himself now to every person. Have you received him? The cup of the Passover that represented the smeared blood on the Israelites' doorposts and lintels now represents the blood of the Lamb of God, shed for the salvation of the world. And it's not shed yearly like the Passover lamb, but once for all. The old covenant, the Passover, pictured deliverance from Egypt and from physical bondage and deliverance to the land of Canaan. The new covenant, the New Testament, in his blood, is deliverance from sin unto salvation, from death to life, from condemnation to reconciliation, from Satan's realm into God's heaven. The Passover was transformed by the Messiah. The Passover pointed to Messiah. It pointed to the Lamb of God. It was a huge symbol and sign that pointed to Christ. And Christ changed it so that everyone who partook or observed it would understand that this is the Lord's Supper. He shed his blood. His body was broken for you. And now we remember not the Exodus, not the Red Sea crossing, not the death of the firstborn and those plagues. We remember the cross and the Savior who died for us. This do ye in remembrance of me. Now we tend to key on in remembrance, okay, because of the false teaching that the body and the cup become the body and blood of Christ. Transubstantiation. And as I was reading Matthew Henry, very devotional reading, right? But he had some very harsh words. The horrid doctrine of the papists, that transubstantiation. Right? I mean, very harsh words there. We tend to key on in remembrance. And that's what I've done. But I want to draw your attention to this do ye. That's a command. This do ye. It's a command from our Lord's mouth, his own lips. Therefore, it's not an option. If we're to be faithful to Christ, we must observe, we must celebrate the Lord's table. Not to do so is disobedience. And that's a sin. We are to remember. to remember Jesus' death, his suffering, his sacrifice, and that it was for you. With that should come a desire to rededicate ourselves to his service and to worship him. And in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. By the way, in this passage, I've underlined cup, 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 cup. Never does Paul call it wine. And Matthew Henry pointed out, the Holy Spirit doesn't reveal what the liquid was. Now, Jewish custom was it was wine. And the custom there was, you know, whenever they had, this was in the spring. So the wine, the juice, would have been old. Jesus says, I'll drink it with you new in the kingdom of heaven. So the next time that Jesus celebrates his supper will be with us when we are with him in either the millennial kingdom or in heaven. I'm not sure which that refers to. But the very next time that Christ partakes of this ceremony will be with us. And how fitting, because he gave his body and shed his blood for us. This do as often as you, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This celebration recalls the Lord's death until he comes. So not only do we remember the Lord's death, but we look forward to his return. We show publicly his death, but we also publicly testify of our belief that he will return. And this celebration keeps us looking forward to his return. As often as we do it, there's no frequency prescribed. None but oft. As oft as you do it. So a testimony to the world that we are not ashamed of our Lord, nor of his blood, that we belong to him, that we are obedient to him, that we're looking forward to his return, looking forward to his coming kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for your words, for all that they mean. Father, we thank you that Christ died for us, that he shed his blood for us, that we could be forgiven, that he allowed his body to be broken, even gave his life for us. Help us, Father, to consider these things. Help us to be obedient to you and to him. We praise you for our Savior and in his name. Amen.